Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We're going to move on to some of the questions from Instagram and Twitter. We'll start off with some of the ones that you got, mate. At B Maloney LFC said, should Liverpool sell Thiago?
Well, you'll do well to get him for him, considering he's currently injured and he's leaving in 6 months.
So hasn't played.
Yeah, so I would I'd probably just kind of let him run his contract down and let him go in the summer. But I'm sure.
Yeah. Joseph underscore Clark 9. Nunes on the left from now on? I think you won't like it. I don't think you'll like it.
It's not as simple as that for me. I think in certain games, I don't mind it. Like the Arsenal game is a great example. You know, we couldn't really get out, and putting them up on the flanks as an outlet and putting them up against Ben White and going a bit more direct over Arsenal's press has just made a lot more sense. But I think generally, I do think Nunes is a 9. As bad as his finishing is at times, I don't think he's got the... He's just... I think the players on the flanks have to be, you know, good 1v1 and things like that, and they have to be good in build-up and stuff. And I think Nunes is just a bit more of like a chance magnet as a 9, so it depends on the game, but I'm happy with them playing in either, depending on the situation at hand and the opponents and all that stuff.
I think for me, I'm totally comfortable with him playing on the left hand side if that's what the game requires.
Same, yeah.
I agree with you in terms of he's clearly a centre forward. I think anyone with eyes will be able to see that. I just wonder whether Klopp is using him out there to just get his confidence up a bit, because, funny enough, someone said to us, did you see the video of Darwin after the game against Fulham, where he turns around to someone in the crowd, I think it was someone he knew when he was in the tunnel or something, after I asked Dan to explain it better, and turns around and the ball just won't go in. And like that's like the 4 shots on the post. And it just feels like the last 2 games, maybe 3 games, I don't think he's done anything wrong per se.
No, no.
It's just the chances that he had are hard, or the keeper's made brilliant saves.
Yeah.
I don't think, like 6 weeks ago, I'd say the opposite. It was his shooting that was the problem. Well, it doesn't seem to be the problem at the moment.
That's the point. I think recently there's been a bit of a shift and not everyone's clicked onto it, that his finishing lately has been fine. He's just been unlucky. Whereas before that, and for the most part through his Liverpool career so far, to be fair, his finishing's not been up to standard. But recently he's just been unlucky. So there's a massive difference between the two there, and I think we need to be careful with that one. But for me, if you look at him profile-wise, he very much reminds me of Fernando Torres, but without the finishing, you know. So, but profile-wise, though, the way you're watching him and everything, he looks like Torres for me a lot of the time. And, you know, in this system, something about Torres on the flanks just doesn't feel right. And
it's like when Chelsea put an Elker out there.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
What are you doing? You've got to finish it there, mate.
I know, but I can see why people like him out there. And as I said, in some games, he'll look better out there because the game state suits him. But for the most part, especially if we're doing the inverted fullback stuff in the box midfield, for me, he's the guy that you want just around the penalty spot, creating openings and occupying the centre halves and making them worry and creating space behind them on the back of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we'll move on to the next one. Nathan Kearney 5. If this is Salah's last season, who in red? If this is Salah's last season in red, who replaces him best tactically in the Premier League?
So is this assuming that we have an unlimited budget and we can get anyone.
Of course.
I think the clone is Jared Bowen, I think. Very,
scores
very similar.
Goals.
Yeah, very, very similar. Very direct, mobile, left-footed, scores goals, proven in the Premier League, threatened behind, quite creative under the radar as well. Got numbers attached to his career, proven. I think he's the clone, but I think because of his age, the most a more sensible one would probably be Moussa Diaby, I think, for me, from Villa. He is left-footed, but he's very two-footed. Uh-huh. Again, very direct, quick. So far, proven in the Premier League, at least. But he's just went to Villa. He's got a fairly long contract, I think. And Villa are potentially going to qualify for the Champions League, so I can't see us getting him. But I think he's a good option. I think he's relatively similar. Other than that, though, Pedro Neto as well was a shout before he got injured. Uh-huh. He was looking good. He's left-footed. But yeah, Bowen's probably the one, but I think we've probably missed a boat on that, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and this maybe answers a question that comes a little bit later, actually. I'm going to throw another boring name out there. And I know there's been a lot of chatter about Bukayo Saka in recent weeks, about his finishing and all that type of stuff.
He's another one, obviously.
Yeah. I think what I find interesting on here, and just to go to FB Ref, right, is, look, this season, so far, he's probably on track for 12 goals. 12 assists. But last season he got 14 goals, 11 assists. Season before, 11 and 7. He's still only 21 years old. Right? If I take that across to look at Mo Salah at Roma, like, at 23 years old, 14 goals. At 24 years old, 15 goals. Mm. And then it's not until Liverpool where he makes the fucking big jump.
Yeah.
And I think Bukayo Saka is the perfect long-term replacement.
Yeah.
But you're not getting him out of Arsenal.
That's the same, yeah.
Yeah, and the big jump is something that I would expect. But equally, I think if you threw Darwin Nunes in Arsenal's front line, he'd get a lot more goals than the Arsenal strikers. And I think Bukayo Saka would work quite well with Darwin Nunes.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'd get a lot more goals than Jesus, for example. And I think if you offered Nunes to Arteta as well, I actually think he'd take him, you know. I think despite the massive narrative around Nunes that he can't finish, I actually think Arteta would take him. Just because he's such a chance magnet. And Arsenal can't seem to generate that in the final third at the minute.
I'm going to ask a question that's not on here that I think is interesting. I think I've got an answer to it. If there was a striker in the Premier League right now that you would replace Darwin Nunes, is that's named not Erling Haaland, who would it be?
I'm a big fan of Ollie Watkins.
Okay.
I think he's really good. Have you got someone in mind?
Isaac.
Yeah, it's a great shout. Yeah, he slipped me mind a little bit, yeah. Isaac's a good one. I think around the time Liverpool were looking at Nunes, I reckon Isaac will have been somewhere on the shortlist because he was looking good at Sociedad, weren't he? And he was a big prospect when Dortmund signed him. I don't know why he didn't work at Dortmund, to be honest. I'm not sure exactly what the story is behind that because Dortmund usually get the most from them kids, but he's been a big prospect for a while now. How old is he now?
I'll tell you now. He is currently 23 years old.
He's got Everton, hasn't he? He can do everything.
He can run in behind. It was just the weekend's game where you're looking at him and you go, he runs in behind, he finishes it. That's fucking brilliant.
Mm.
He runs in behind, he bends his run on one and I don't think he finishes that one. He's brilliant against us. He's fast as fuck. He can probably do the stuff inside the box if you're doing your little cutbacks and stuff like that. But he's quick in transition. And I think I would move heaven and earth if we had the chance to sign him, to be honest with you. I just think he's absolutely superb. Like,
would you swap him then, would you?
I would swap him.
Would you, yeah?
I would swap him, yeah. I think he's brilliant. And I just love everything that I've seen from him so far. But again, you know, you could look at the numbers and all that type of stuff. In terms of his goals, it looks like it's been a bit patchy at times. He's gone 13 goals, 9 goals, 17 goals, 6 goals.
See, do you know what's mad? He averages about half the number of shots per 90 than Nunes. But he's just a lot more of a killer. So he just makes up for it. Doesn't need as many chances because he puts them away. It's interesting.
So I would have him. That was my deep dive question for the day. Liam Shortall says, when's the podcast coming?
I don't have an answer for that, but I'm working on it, I'm chipping away at it and stuff, and I'm trying to make it so that, like, when it comes, it's the finished product. It's not half baked. It's you know, it's all sorts of logos and cover designs and guests and all that stuff. So what's this space is probably the best way I can put it.
Okay. Gentleman Butcher, do you think City will end up being punished in a similar way to Juve?
Possibly. I think they should, obviously. Whether it'll be to that extent, I don't know, but...
Who's Del Piero in it? Who's going down with the ship?
I don't know.
Foden. Could be, you know.
I don't know about Foden.
Might actually get a fucking start every
week.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know, you know. That's a good question. It feels like I feel like company would have.
Bernardo Silva's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone every summer. You think you're rid of him, but he's like a bad smell. You just can't get rid of the twat. Here's a question for you. Who's been better for City? I saw this on Twitter the other week. Bernardo Silva or David Silva? Because I think your heart immediately wants to go David Silva was a player.
I still think I'd probably lean towards David Silva, but Bernardo Silva's been incredible. Unbelievable player. I remember watching him at Monaco and thinking he's such a player, him lad, but straight in that City, you got him and he's got that snide about him as well anyway. It's hard to admit that.
Horrible.
But he is like...
Cancer dad, will you have a book signing abroad? Netherlands?
Not abroad, but I'm actually... There's a chance, yeah.
A little book signing.
It might be a live podcast in Waterstones in Liverpool.
Really? Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Sean Christian, Macker into centre mid once and the returns, is there too much competition already?
Possibly, yeah, possibly. I think Endo's looked good as a six. Generally looks like he can cope, and McAllister deserves to get into the team. You know, he's good enough, he can play as an eight. I suppose the issue is just who comes out, because we've touched on how important Curtis Jones is one of the eights. Szoboszlai is one of the other ones. So it depends, like, you know, it would have to be in every competition, and I think everyone gets minutes that way. But I think if you're picking your best 11, though, do you think McAllister's still there? And
yeah,
Jones
just,
still there. I think
just.
I think Endo does make us really balanced, but I don't think he's in our best 11. Like,
Signature Life 1, the Liverpool still have advantage re-data within all the departments.
Yes. Everything that Ian Graham created is still at the club. You know, it's owned by the club. It's intellectual property. Is that how you say it? Yeah. So that can still get used. And the guy who took his place, Will Spearman, is you know,
a brainiac.
Genius, yeah, absolute genius. So he's still at the club. I think the big thing when it comes to data, and you'll find this out if you buy my book.
Baby on Amazon.
Like that? is the buy-in side of it. Like, so many clubs out there have got data departments. One of the biggest, for example, one of the biggest and best is Barcelona, for example. They don't use it at all on the recruitment side, at least. And that's because the decisions are just made by, like, boardroom fellas who aren't really bothered and just make decisions based on politics a lot of the time and getting fans on side and stuff. So what Liverpool have always had, mainly because of FSG and the culture that they've fostered, is the buy-in to the data and, you know, the evidence. We don't buy a player based on vibes like Man United did with Cristiano Ronaldo, for example. You buy a player based on the tangible evidence behind it and things like that. And I think we're a bit less that now because Graham's left, Edwards has left, Linders is a bit more prominent. Schmadke is Klopp's mate. Don't know if he's staying or anything like that. We haven't really got a sporting director in a minute. So I think we're now a bit less data-driven than we were, but we still have an edge if we want to use it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's all about, you know, lots of clubs allow data. It's interpreting the data for a start, isn't it? And then whether you're going to utilise the data or not. And I think that's where the big question's probably coming around Klopp and his power at the football club and all those types of things. But I just to have a different swing on it, I think we're 10 years ahead of Manchester United and will be for a long time.
Yeah.
So therefore we will always have an advantage over Manchester United. City maybe less so. But we did nick their scouting department and get that £1 million fine or whatever a few years ago when we breached whatever it was.
Yeah, well, there was a time a while back where Ian Graham was getting linked to Man United shortly after he left Liverpool, like, you know, Graham's going to go over there and do the same thing. But they have their version of Graham. His name's Dominic Jordan. But whatever he's doing, I'm sure he's clever, but whatever he's doing, it's... I mean, it might now, because they've got a slightly different ownership, I think, now, haven't they, with Jim coming in. But it's the buy-in that he needs. It's that's what will, you know, create the edge.
OK. Can Gomez play consistently left-back and be part of a back three when Robbo is back? Do you want me to go on this one? I don't think he will. I think he can. I think, you know.
Yeah, it's a can, isn't it? Yeah. It's one of them where, like, it's like a break glass option.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way, if Costas was fit and Robbo was fit and Robbo gets an injury, I think it's Costas who's going in first.
Yeah.
And therefore, that probably answers the question, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Ross T. Dizzle, in a deep dive, you mentioned the difference in attacking scouting players versus defending. Can you explain this?
Yeah, this was a good question, this. So when it comes to the data attached to players, obviously the data is based on...
it's output, isn't it?
Yeah, it's output. Everything is based on events. So a shot, a clearance, a cross, a chance created, you know, whatever. So if you think of that in an attacking sense, if you're thinking of an attacker, generally the more the better. You know, the more shots a player's taking, the more he's creating, the more he's shooting, the more he's scoring, the more the better. So you just kind of look for the big numbers. It's kind of easy, within reason, obviously. Whereas when it comes to the defensive side of the game, there's a lot that you just kind of can't measure. Like, if you think of Peak Van Dijk in terms of events, clearances, tackles, he looked really quiet in the numbers. He looked like he weren't really involved, but he's obviously elite. So when it comes to judging defensive players using the numbers, you just have to be really careful, because there's a lot of context lacking in there, and a lot of it's team dependent, and a lot of it's missing. Don't forget me wrong, a lot of it's missing on the attacking side as well, in terms of, like, you know, off-ball stuff, for example, in an attacking sense. If a player makes an off-ball run, creates a massive gap, it's difficult to quantify that. But in terms of what he's doing on the ball, at least, we can quantify that. Whereas when it comes to the defensive side of the game, there's just a lot more that is just a bit... You almost need to watch the footage a bit more to determine who's good and who's bad. But, you know, they're kind of working on that. That's kind of like the next... what's the word? Next frontier, if you want.
Oh, another good one there, mate. I like that one.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at UH1.com.
I'm going to see if I can give you an example of this. And I'm trying to think of a player who's moved recently. We'll see if it works on the defensive actions. So I'll give you an... All right, so I can't do it in the FB ref because I can't think of somebody who's moved from one club to another in the Premier League from, like, Well, would Ake have fallen into this category?
Yeah, when was Ake, that? When did he move?
Well,
Ake's a good show, yeah.
Ake might have fallen into this from a side that wasn't brilliant to a side that that dominate the ball.
Stones as well for Everton.
I don't know whether he'll go far back enough.
It wouldn't, no.
On the Stones run. So if I go down to his defensive stats here and do it by a per 90 basis, yeah, here's a great example. Blocks per 90, 1.35, 0.92 blocked shots. Tackles and interceptions, 1.29, 2.41 for tackles and interceptions. And then City, the numbers are all just smaller because City dominate the ball and they don't have anywhere near as good defending. The first player I went to check was Lovren at Southampton. A defensive side, and Lovren's just there heading the ball away. Look at Burnley defenders, just there heading the ball away on the dice. That's all they do. They don't kick the ball. They just throw their head in over and over again. And then you move to a Man City and you never have to do any defending.
Yeah.
And that's why the numbers, a shit team's defender in output terms is always going to look better than Virgil van Dijk, who does nothing all game.
Yeah.
But that one thing is perfect.
Yeah, the thing is as well, if you've got a centre-half out there who's top of the league with tackles, just because he's tackling loads doesn't necessarily mean he's a good defender.
Yeah, because nowadays you're probably looking more at positioning and interceptions.
Yeah.
Tackles should be the last resort.
Exactly, yeah. He could be making lots of tackles because his team's a mess, or because he can't organise things, or because he's out of position, or, you know, he couldn't read something. You know, there's loads of context lacking, basically, when it comes to the defensive side of the game compared to the attacking side.
OK, we'll move on. AM Thomas 33, we'll do maybe four or five more. We'll whiz through these. How do Liverpool do on the XG table? How would the big chances table look? So I've got Understat up for this one, because Understat's probably a good place to maybe start in terms of expected goals. Obviously, you can do expected points, and points-wise, Liverpool are third. Non-penalties expected goals, Liverpool third. Expected goals, Liverpool are actually top above Manchester City in expected goals, and expected goals against, I think I might have to add that.
What I think is interesting is if you look at expected goals, expected goal difference.
Yeah.
Per match, Liverpool are actually top of the league, and that's the most obvious metric that is out there that kind of captures how good a team is under the radar. That doesn't consider whether the shot went in, doesn't look at the result, it just looks at what your goal difference would be in an expected world, you know, with no randomness, with no variance. If every player was just as good as the other player, what are you creating as a team? And what are you stopping as a team at the other end? And Liverpool are the best for that. And every season, really, that's Manchester City. And to be fair, Manchester City are really close. But
And if you took out the Newcastle game, I think Manchester City would be top of that.
Yeah.
Because we've had a otherworldly seven expected goals in one game.
Exactly, yeah. That's a good point. I think if you look at the standings as well, you can see it's pretty accurate for the most part, at least, like the top three.
Chelsea mad though.
Yeah, but I think in a lot of games they do look fairly well coached. They just can't, they're just crap at both ends in terms of the boxes.
Great in there.
But you've got Liverpool, City and then Arsenal, then a big gap. It's a big gap to Chelsea and Villa. Then a smaller gap to Brentford.
You just haven't had a strike, eh?
Brighton, Newcastle, Man United are about 12th or something like that, and the worst three teams in the league. Sheffield United, Luton and Burnley. One of the things I'm most surprised about, to be honest, is Fulham. Whenever I've seen Fulham, they look good. Whenever Liverpool play Fulham, yeah, they look good.
That's true.
So I'm quite surprised they look like a poorly coached team there.
Okay, James Shine 92, favourite footballing memory?
I think obviously Istanbul comes to mind, but I was a baby then. Like, I think one of the best games I've been to, I was at the Dortmund game. That was unbelievable. Yeah, that felt like the start of Klopp's journey, and that we didn't know how good we were, we didn't know what to expect, what was coming. That was amazing. What about you?
I'd be very surprised if Barca in the semis ever gets topped. Bayern Munich away as well. City away in that run. Interviewing Jürgen Klopp, like in Boston, was like fucking up there, you know, in terms of that. First time I got to speak to Kenny Dalglish, A couple of years back, up there, mate. I mean,
yeah, you know. a couple of years back, I went to a football conference, and you sat in rows listening to professionals in the game give talks about like the next data thing or whatever. Well, it's my bag in it. A lot of the listeners might find it boring. I don't know.
No, I read that like the Will Spearman piece. I had to stop it right after about 30 pages because it just felt dumb. And that's what I would feel like if I went to one of those conferences. It just feels stupid.
Yeah, well, some of it is interesting. Like, a lot of it's over your head, but it's interesting. But what I was going to say was I was sat directly behind. I put my hand on Edwards' shoulder, Michael Edwards, and he was sat next to Julian Ward, Ian Graham and that, and the My Halo.
With the tent.
I was whispering in the ear, like, just, you know. But
follow us at Distance Covered on Twitter.
Hello. I'm a big fan. but yeah, sitting behind them to the extent where I could, you know, shake hands with them or whatever.
Did you?
No.
Did you introduce yourself?
No.
You fucking shit out.
I know, but they were all like, it was like a little collective, like, all of these.
You could have been in there. Friends, football friends.
It was only missing Clapp and Linders. That was it. That was all that was missing. But that was quite a silly old experience. Like,
is it up there with Dortmund though?
No.
Michael Edwards.
No, no. I was talking along the lines of you interviewing the likes of Kenny, which again is a different level, probably. But you know, we're talking outside matches, aren't we?
Yeah,
a little bit.
That's good. I like it. Okay. I'm gonna go to one from Twitter. Frenchy, LFC 99. How do Endo's stats since he started improving his position compared to other DMs?
I don't think we can look specifically at his stats since he started improving his position, because I don't that would involve separating, you know, the first half of the season, which weren't very good. And again, going back to it, like, if you look at his numbers for, if you look at what we were saying before about defensive numbers, just because he's, it's difficult to determine how much of an impact Endo's having on Liverpool just by looking at his defensive numbers, because defensive numbers aren't that good or aren't that kind of watertight, really. But he looks just as good in the air, which is interesting. I remember that being one of his standout kind of areas when he was in the Bundesliga. So he looks just as good in the air in England. Funny enough, his progressive passes is better than his, well, when I say better, he's posting like higher percentage of progressive passes in terms of, in comparison to his peers, than he is tackles and interceptions, which I think is interesting.
I'm just going to bring up something we did on the Plus show. If you want more of this type of content, of course, go over to redmenplus.com, sign up, and you can have an extra deep dive show every single week. But for a point per match, and I know it's no metric really, but Kwanzaa, 6 appearances, Kelleher, 2 appearances, 3 points per match, James McConnell, 3 points, and now 15 appearances, 2.4 points per match for Liverpool, and then it's Nunes, 2.37, so clearly having an impact. We can move on to the next one. Do the stats back up the theory that Trent is a poor defender versus other right-backs in the league, says MTGW1515?
Well, again, I don't think you can make that judgment, really, based on the numbers. Okay. Again, going back to the reasons as to why defensive stats are just tricky, because there's context lacking. I think just because... I think if Trent is tackling more than Kyle Walker, Kyle Walker's a better defender than Trent. I don't care what the numbers say. So... But in an attacking sense, you can judge his game a bit more. That's a bit different. But on the defensive side, I've never been keen on the idea of using numbers to determine that Trent is... To bust the myth that Trent can't defend or something because he's tackled loads of people or something like that. I don't think there's a need to do that. I don't think he's the best defender. I think he's better than people make out. But at best, he's just all right. At defending.
I was chatting to Ian Maloney. I don't know whether you know him, but he does love Follow Conker, one of the independent merch retailers around Liverpool Football Club. Brilliant merchandise, known for a long time. Chatting to him on the phone before about something, and he had a theory, because he can't get his head around why Trent is always just left alone and he's never really sorted the right back problem out. And his theory is Klopp wants them to attack down there. He wants to know where they're going to attack, and we'll just deal with it. And you know what? It sounds mental, right? But there is a part where you go, Maybe he's playing 4D chess. Who knows? But I thought I'd say it on the show. Supporting interesting, like
that's a new one.
Knowing where the opposition is going to target might be a help.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Definitely would, yeah.
So it's just like, leave it there. Got Konate, he'll deal with it, no problem. Got Matip, he'll deal with it, no problem. It's working, whatever it is. And obviously, tempering's a lot to the table. So there you go. Yeah. That has been the deep dive Q&A. Josh is away next week, but we'll work out a deep dive regardless. So you'd all like to wish me, or him, happy birthday. He's got a big one coming up, haven't you, mate?
Yeah, we'll keep the number quiet, eh?
Yeah, will do, mate.
A lot of people... I'll be surprised, I think, by... Well, do you think...
I've just told them.
Have you?
Oh, I just did that.
In the comments, just tell me that I don't look it, please.
You don't look it, mate.
Don't I?
You don't look it. Die over 15. You're absolutely sad.
So no, I get an ID, mate, for knives and that.
Sounds, listen, happy birthday for when it is. Enjoy your couple of weeks away. Know you're going to come back. You're going to smash your podcast and everything else that you put your mind to. Go and check out his book. Of course, it's on Amazon. We'll put a link in the description for that. What's it called? Data Game?
Data Game, yeah. And thanks for the help internally with specifically the appearance of the book. That's a lot on Redmen, that. Because the first few designs, you was kind of my...
Sounding board,
yeah, it's a good way of putting it, yeah. So, but we got there in the end of me,
yeah, mate. It looks brilliant. I can't wait to read it. I've ordered my copy, you should too. I got an extra, what was it, £1.17 off on Amazon,
yeah. I don't know where that's coming from. So,
I mean, I bought it right and then messaged them and went, you know, there's a discount on Amazon just in case you didn't know, but I had to get the discount in first,
yeah. No, I don't blame you, but I think that's on the publisher. I haven't got a clue when it comes to the prices, that's not my decision,
yeah. I look forward to reading it, mate. I know it's going to be absolutely brilliant. I know you've been working on it for 2 to 3 years or something. So, yeah. Go and check it out. Thank you very much for watching. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.